Hi, everybody. Good morning. I am, yes, the newly minted Reverend James. Still feel like the same old guy. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to always be down here with you. I absolutely love teaching the youth group. You guys know you guys will always be my heart and soul. They know that. But every time I get to be here in main service with you and I get to share God's word with you, the whole church, it really blesses me. And so I'd love to begin how you guys usually begin with the shout that you guys do. I'll go ahead and yell, I love you, or I love God and I love you, and you guys can shout it back. So I love God and I love you.
I love God and I love you.
Awesome, guys. So we are kind of moving into this new series called Almost Easter, where we're going to take a couple of these Sundays leading up to Easter. And Easter, as if you're a Christian, know that it is a huge Sunday. It's a really big Sunday. I mean, some of us would even call it the Super Bowl of Sundays. Only we don't have to worry about our team losing. We already know how it ends. It's like watching an ESPN classic, right? Your team is down, but you're not crying because you ultimately know, end of the fourth quarter, few seconds, they hit the game-winning shot and Jesus wins. So don't place any bets against Jesus on Easter. Ill-advised. But today what we're going to do is look at the story called The Raising of Lazarus, okay, which, spoiler alert, Raising of Lazarus, he rises again. I know they should probably get a better working title for that story because it would be equivalent to Avengers, Thanos kills half the universe. Like, it kind of takes away from the suspense a little bit, doesn't it? But to kind of help you, help me to settle into the story of the raising of Lazarus, what I kind of need you to do is kind of get in the shoes of these two sisters. So there's these two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they have a brother named Lazarus. Okay, and they're all good friends with Jesus, and their situation, it's a really bad situation. These two sisters have a brother who's very sick. Okay, he's sick, and he's to the point where he is dying. Okay, so I need you to put yourself in their shoes. I mean, some of you guys absolutely know, some of you really do understand what this family is probably going through. Maybe you know what it's like to see a loved one in the hospital, and they're suffering, they're in pain, they're in their final moments, and maybe you, like Mary and Martha, like you have exhausted every possible option to save them, right? Don't you do everything you possibly can for your loved one? So they do the right thing, they go to the right person, they come to Jesus, and they know that if we can just get Jesus here, if Jesus just comes, he's going to make everything okay. He's going to heal Lazarus, he can keep Lazarus from dying. Okay, so let's go ahead and start the story here in their plea to Jesus. We'll go ahead and put the first slide up there for me, please. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sister sent to Jesus, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place that he was. Now, if you're paying close attention to the text, there's a couple problems with how Jesus is responding to this very serious situation. The first problem is, you guys notice where he says, this illness does not lead to death. Jesus said that. And what's the problem? Did this illness lead to death? Absolutely, it did. It totally did. So can you imagine for a second talking to the doctor, okay, and they say, your spouse, your child, your parent, okay, they're doing great, they're doing well, they're going to make 100% recovery. The doctor says that, and then they die. Will you or will you not have some words for that doctor? Probably. Yeah, probably. So this is a problem. Jesus says this illness does not lead to death, and yet it led to death. But the second problem, I think, is actually even worse. The second problem is, what did Jesus do when he got the news? Nothing. Right? says Jesus did nothing. He sat on his hands. He did nothing for 2 days. He just stayed put for 2 days. That is absolutely ridiculous. Think about this. What do we do when there's an emergency? What do you and I do when someone's in trouble? Who do you call? 911. Can you imagine calling 911 and them being telling you, sorry, we'll get there in 2 days. You know, we don't work the weekends. I'm sorry, we'll get to you. 911 doesn't work like that, and yet we see Jesus work like that? That's awful. I think that's horrible. Why would he just stay there for 2 more days? So we would probably come to Jesus and be like, Jesus, what do you have to say for yourself? Why would you allow this bad thing to happen? Why didn't you act? Why didn't you do anything? And go ahead and show the next slide, because his response is very disturbing. Jesus told them, that's the disciples around him, says, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him, right? Jesus said it. This not my words, his words. I am glad I wasn't there to save Lazarus. Is or is that not an awful thing to say? All right, I'm not trying to paint Jesus in a bad light. I'm just trying to show you the text in its real and its raw way. Okay, we would see this on our side as human beings. It's like, that is not a good way to respond. I am glad Lazarus is dead. Now, I always tell the youth group this. I say, youth group, when you guys have a problem with the Bible, when you have a problem with God, you have a doubt, you have a question, okay, I tell the youth group, I need you to ask your questions. Don't be afraid to ask your questions. It's okay if you come across something in the Bible that's difficult or hard, and you don't quite understand why God would do this or why Jesus would do this. If you guys have doubts and you have questions, I always tell the youth group, you need to ask somebody. Don't just lock it in and hide it. Investigate it. So youth group, like when I was your age, I read this story. I read this story, and I'm pretty sure I was 17 or 18 years old, and I was like, how could Jesus sit there for 2 days doing nothing? Why didn't Jesus save this person he supposedly said he loved? And I asked the pastor this. I had the courage to approach someone that I trusted. I said, I have to ask you this question because I don't understand why Jesus would do something like this. And the reason, and he does have a good reason, is in the text itself, and I'll point it out to you, it's the part where he says, for your sake, I am glad. Now that word, for your sake, it's to say like, for your sake is for your benefit, meaning there is some good in this for you. I'm glad that this is happening, not so much because Lazarus is dead, I'm glad because something good is going to come out of it. We see this happen a lot in the Bible. Like, just quickly, right? It's a story of Joseph getting sold into Egypt. It's a very evil, awful thing that ultimately an awesome good came out of it. And in 2 weeks, we will celebrate a horrendous, awful injustice to the Son of God where what? The ultimate good came out of it. This is what Jesus is talking about. There's going to be a good, there's going to be an awesome benefit that comes out of this story. So to understand what this benefit is, Jesus has to tell you what it is, and then he has to back it up with some kind of a proof. So go ahead and go with me to the next slide, and he'll kind of tell us what's happening here. So Martha, the sister, comes and says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Okay, Martha is not dumb. Like, Martha's a lot of things. I mean, she's a clean freak. I mean, I'm sure she's the one with the wipes and the sanitizers and, you know, she's that, but she's not an idiot. Is she right when she tells Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would still be alive? Is she right? She's absolutely right. And we ask this question a lot. God, why is this happening to my parent, my child, my spouse? And I'm telling you guys, can God handle your questions? God can totally handle your questions. I give you this illustration of like a lightning rod. Okay? It's like Jesus is like a lightning rod, and he can ground out lightning. Right? He can take your questions. So don't be afraid to, in your prayers, shout at God, why is this happening? Why would you do this? God, where are you? I can show you some Psalms in the Bible where David is very raw, very real, and you wouldn't believe the things that David says to God. Where were you when I needed you? Guys, it is okay to let that be in your prayer. He can take that. He can take the question. And how does Jesus respond to Martha? He basically tells her, it's going to be okay. You know, when you're hurting and when you're in pain, it feels good, right? Someone comes alongside you, they hug you, they say, hey, it's going to be okay. Sometimes you and I, we need to hear those words. It's going to be okay. And Martha agrees. Martha actually says to Jesus, I agree with you. I agree that things are going to be okay someday. So she's talking about some Old Testament belief. This actually comes from the book of Daniel chapter 12, where the Old Testament says that all of God's children will be resurrected on the last day. Okay, that was a Jewish belief. They believed in the last day of history, everybody gets the resurrection. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't talking about resurrection someday. He goes, I am here today. I'm talking about today. Your brother will rise again. Show us the next slide. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And this is the benefit, guys. Jesus is the resurrection, and Jesus is the life. It's not that you and I hold to some Bible doctrine, okay? We just read this, and it's like, yes, someday, one day, God's going to make it okay. It's like, no, you don't put your faith in this. You put your faith in Jesus, because he's the life and he's the resurrection. And if you believe in him, you will and can have eternal life. And I love that it uses that qualifier, whoever believes. You can believe and you can believe and you can believe and you can believe. This is the most inclusive religion. It's the most inclusive invitation that we ever see. Anybody who believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life can have eternal life. Now, is or is this not a bold claim? This is a bold claim, because who is the only person who can give life? That's God. He, in a sense, is claiming to be who? He's putting himself on equal position with who? With God. That's a big claim, a bold claim. You know, so you guys will hear this. Skeptics and atheists and agnostics, they'll tell you and I, Jesus never claimed to be God. He never said those things. And that's baloney. Obviously, he put himself on par with God. And it's actually the reason why religious people kill Jesus. It's because he puts himself on par with God. He says, I am God. And here he says, I am the resurrection and the life, which is something only God can do. Now, I don't have faith. That's just my confession to you. In like spiritual gifts inventory, I took a survey, right? I answer all these questions to kind of see like what spiritual gifts do I test high for and which ones do I test low for. Do you know which one I tested the lowest for? Faith. I teach high for teaching and prophecy and I think service, but faith is like my lowest. I think Francis, I think she has probably the spiritual gift of faith. I don't have the spiritual gift of faith. I need good reasons. I need good reasons. I need evidence. I need proof. I need to know that if I'm to believe this, I need to know that there's good reason to believe this. And so Jesus has to provide some kind of proof. And he does that here. We'll go on the next slide here to kind of see what he does. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. And a stone lay against it, and Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Now, I don't want you to miss a very important detail, because this is something that gets overlooked a lot of times, and that's this part that said he had been dead for how many days? He'd been dead for 4 days. Okay, the writer doesn't get paid by the word here. It's in the Bible, and it's here for a reason. Okay, now he has been dead for 4 days. Okay, how many days did Jesus sit on his hands for? 2 days. Okay, so now what if I told you that it takes 2 days to travel from where Jesus was to where this family is? Okay, he waits 2 days, he travels 2 days, and he gets here on day four. Okay, so I know this is hard math maybe for some of you guys. Hopefully not. That's pretty bad. Go see Andrew Wang. Okay, had Jesus left right when he got the news, okay, he would have arrived to a freshly dead Lazarus, maybe. Like, Lazarus maybe would have been dead a couple hours. So if Lazarus has only been dead a couple hours and Jesus comes along and resurrects him, will people really believe or think that that was a resurrection? Or would they think it was a resuscitation? Resuscitation. And resuscitations are amazing, awesome things, but they're actually very common things, right? I'm sure that they happen in our hospitals every single day. So people would see Jesus do this miracle, and would they think anything of it? No. It would be nothing special, not really. In fact, what you also need to know is that there's this Jewish belief back in that day. And this is what it said. When a person died, their spirit would hover over the body for 3 days, trying to get back into the body. Okay? For 3 days, the spirit would hover. But on day four, that's it. There's no hope. No hope. On day four, that spirit has gone to be somewhere else. Do you now understand why Jesus needed to come? Not on day one, not on day two, not on day three. Do you see why it had to be day four? Do you see why he needed to wait those 2 days? Guys, when we're on one side of the story, we see a man who sits on his hands for 2 days, and we think, how awful of a guy would do that. He would wait 2 days doing nothing. But now that you know what Jesus is about to do, when Jesus had to be there on day four, you understand why he does what he does. Guys, sometimes, do we always understand what God is doing in the moment? We don't. We don't. We don't always have the answers during the moment. Sometimes we get the answers after the moment. And guys, sometimes we don't get the answers until the other side of eternity. But sometimes we get the answers, and in this story, we get the answers. See, if this event is a hoax, if Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the dead, and this is a myth, it's a hoax, it's not real, we can explain this in some natural means, it was just resuscitation, okay? Then Jesus cannot hold his claim as the resurrection and the life, okay? That would be like putting your faith in Peter Pan, Santa Claus, okay? He backs it up with a legitimate resurrection day four. We're going to finish the story here. If you can give us the last slide for us, please. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. Thank you that you have heard me, that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him. Let him go. Guys, this is the big idea I need you to capture. Is Jesus did all this so that you may believe he was sent by God. This whole miracle, this whole time, Jesus' big plan was, I need to do this so that you have good reasons to believe that I am the resurrection and I am the life. Guys, I know that pain and hurt and suffering is not easy. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I know how awful death is. I know what death feels like. I haven't yet experienced death firsthand. both my parents are alive, and I didn't know my grandparents very well anyway. But I know that some of you guys in this room, I know you guys know what death feels like, to have to say goodbye to somebody that you're not going to see again. Guys, this story is important because I need you to understand that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy of God. In the beginning, there was God. In the beginning, God made everything, and he made everything what? Good and perfect. And then it's our sin, our mistakes, our responsibility for bringing sin into the world, and death and disease and corruption and suffering. We did that, not God. God does not cause death. He hates death. It's an enemy of his. And I didn't have time to kind of really show you this in the story, but in the original language, it says that Jesus approached Lazarus' grave. It says he approached the tomb with anger. Anger. Jesus was mad when he came to Lazarus' grave. Now, some of you guys understand this anger. When you guys have lost a loved one, sometimes there's the initial shock. Sometimes you get angry. Or maybe you've had to see someone, lose someone, and you're sitting next to your friend who just lost someone dear, and you wish that you could do something. You and I, we get angry when we can't do anything about the problem. How could this be happening, and how is it that we could do nothing about this? That would piss me off. And that's how Jesus is. He is angry at death. It is an enemy of his. Death took away his friend. But can Jesus do something about this? Jesus actually is the only one who could do something about this. He calls out Lazarus's name, which is absolutely awesome. He calls him specifically by his name. And I love this because Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite pastors from the 1800s, he goes, it's a good thing he used Lazarus's name or else he probably would have emptied the whole graveyard. Love these old-time pastors. But guys, the powerful thing is at the very end. Look what he says. He goes, it's like almost as if he is speaking to death itself. Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority to look at death and say, you let him go right now. You give him back to me. So I just want to close with this. Dying is not the worst thing. Dying without a relationship with Jesus, that's the worst thing. True or false, did Lazarus die again? True. Lazarus is dead right now. I know. But let me ask you, will Lazarus hear his name called out again? Yes. My question to you is, will he call out your name? Will he call out your name? Do you have faith in Jesus? Friends, if your faith is in Jesus, you believe he is the resurrection and the life, be prepared. No, he is going to call out your name. Hannah, Mark, Brandon, Gina, Brian. Your name is going to be called. Can you believe that? Like, can you imagine what that's going to feel like to have your name specifically called by the Lord Jesus? And he will demand that death bring you back to him. And death will no longer have its grips and its claws and its claim on you anymore. It is done. And the book of Revelation is clear. He will throw Satan and demons and death all into hell. That's how the story ends. Folks, I want to invite the worship team up. And worship team, can I ask a favor? And I didn't talk to you guys before this, but would you do the second song? I think it was Greater Is Your Love, Greater Is Your Love. Sorry, this isn't in my notes. This is kind of prompting the Holy Spirit. But the reason why I want the worship team to sing this song is, guys, is this a sad story or is this a happy story? This is a happy story. I know it started with tragedy, it starts with death, and it ends with life. So what we need to do is, guys, we need to sing. We need to celebrate, and we need to rejoice that Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. He looked at Lazarus' tomb, and he brought Lazarus out. He rescued Lazarus. He defeated Lazarus' grave, and in a couple weeks, we will see Jesus defeat his own grave. And I'm here to tell you that he's going to defeat your grave, too. He's going to call out your name. So I want to invite you guys, please stand up. Please stand up, and we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done for you and for me. Let's sing.